We'll take care of the horses out there. While we'll feed them and water them for you. We're glad you're here today. Amen. Brother North, thank you for being obedient to the Spirit today. Sister Linda, thank you for that word today. How many know we're not to fear? Doesn't matter. You got to know there's all kind of things the enemy wants, is planning to send us our way. But we can't fear. We're not to walk in fear. God's got his agenda. And it's a lot bigger than the enemy's. Amen. Amen. Wow. Presence of God is so strong in the house, so powerful. Thank you, Galen. Praise team. Oh, my goodness. Every song brought us into the presence of Almighty God today. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. My desire is that you take this word today as direction for you, for your life, for your family, this coming year. And take it to heart. I want you to listen today to this word. If you need to make notes, make you some notes. But I believe it's a word of encouragement, but it's a word of direction for us. Amen. We are praying. We are seeking the Lord in the month of January. That will carry us through into the rest of this year. We're believing for great and mighty things to come about. And but we've got to be in that place of surrender. We've got to trust Him with our lives. Trust Him in every part of our life. And He's got to be the center of our life. He doesn't want to just be at the top of an ABC list. He's to be the center. And everything that we do flows out from that center. Hallelujah. All right, let's get into the Word this morning. Psalm 127, verses 1 and 2. A song of ascents of Solomon. Unless the Lord builds the house, the builders labor in vain. Unless the Lord watches over the city, the guards stand watch in vain. In vain you rise early and stay up late. Another translation says it's useless to rise early and stay up late. Toiling, anxiously working for food to eat, for He grants sleep, for He gives rest to those He loves. The title of my message this morning is Unless the Lord Builds the House. You may not know this, but we are blessed in our local body here to have men and women in our church family who are gifted when it comes to building and construction. From laying foundations to framing to electrical to plumbing to insulation to drywall, and then even painting. And we have those who can then come in and decorate and organize and keep things repaired and clean. How's that? And I thank God for every one of you. You know, when it came to reworking the outside of our building out front, it was desperately in need of repair. And so our folks stepped in and they removed the old and replaced the overhang with new material. And we're not through with it. We want to finish with that this year. And we're going to begin to refurbish our building inside and out. And so we're going to meet in the near future and develop a plan of action for that to happen this year. Most of our church is also is aware that we have what we call a security team in place. They watch over our two buildings and the parking lot area when we have service or when we have other activities on here on the premises. Yes, our doors are open to everyone. But as we have seen on the news in the last few years across our state, our nation, guess what? Not everyone comes with the right motives. So just be aware that our team is always watching, and that's a good thing. Psalm 127 is attributed not to David, but to David's son Solomon. And when it comes to building, Solomon was the one who, although David wanted to build a temple for the Lord said, no, you're not the one, your son Solomon will build the temple. For the longest time, you've got to know that the tabernacle where the people of God worshiped was a portable operation. It was built as a tent-like structure, but it wasn't permanent. So David had this burden to build a magnificent building to worship God in. Yet we find the Lord telling him, no, David, you've shed too much blood in those battles that you have fought throughout your lifetime. I'm going to have Solomon, your son, build the temple. And so the temple, once it was built, in fact, it was called Solomon's Temple. We know from history and scripture it was later destroyed and rebuilt and destroyed again. And now in that spot where Solomon built the original temple in Jerusalem, there on the Temple Mount is another structure called the Mosque of Omar, where the Muslims gather to worship. So Solomon knew a lot about building, and along with the temple, he built himself a palace and had all kinds of other building projects going on throughout Israel. So now this kind of hits home to you and I. You don't have to be building a physical, natural temple, and you don't have to be in the construction business. Yet, we are all building something. We are all building our lives every day. We could say we're building brick upon brick, a little mortar here and a little there. The scripture says it this way, precept upon precept, line upon line, here a little and there a little. We're building our character, and what does that look like? We build our families. We're raising our children, and in many cases, we're helping raise our grandchildren. We're building marriages. We're building careers. We're building our education. And for the most part, we seek God, and we find out what it is that He wants us to do with our lives. And now we're building and we're working. So yes, we're building something. What did Jesus tell Peter over in Matthew 16:18? He said, I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this church, or upon this rock, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. So he has people building with him on that project. In fact, Paul comes along in 1 Corinthians 3:10. He wrote this, by the grace God has given me, I laid a foundation as a wise builder, and someone else is building on it, but each one should build with care. In other words, everyone who comes after me, all the pastors, all the elders, missionaries, deacons, deaconesses, all the helpers in the ministry, all the saints, the women, the men and women who put their hand to the plow in this building process, he says, be careful how you build, because the foundation that's been laid is Jesus Christ. Amen. So everyone's building. In regards to our ministry team here at New Life, we're builders, building the church, trying to help people, knowing that not everyone is in the same place in their spiritual journey. But the stones that we use are not physical stones. How many know they're living stones? They're people, and we're all building. And that's what the church is about. It's not about getting people into the auditorium once a week. That's just going to church, and coming to church on a Sunday does not mean then that there's an automatic spiritual formation and building. Yes, how many know it's needful to gather together as often as one can to worship together with one another? The Bible encourages the saints to come together and hear the word spoken into our lives through either teaching or preaching, and He'll also speak to us in our time of worship in the various songs that we sing. Oh my gosh, every song this morning was speaking to us this morning. We're strengthened then, and it's encouraging when we hear others testifying of what God did for them during the previous week. But it's what you do outside of this place, 6 days a week, 24/7. With what you have received. And yes, God is in the building business. Again, from our text, unless the Lord builds the house. So obviously God is into building. So what's this psalm telling us? For all the building projects that we need to work on in our lives, listen, unless the Lord builds the house, we build it in vain. So there's labors. If you're building something, you have to focus. You have to give energy to it. Whether you're building a church, a family, a career, an education, whatever you're doing, you're building something. And yes, it ought to be something sanctioned by God. Meaning it ought to be pleasing to God what you're building. It ought to be planned by God. Something that you've been led to by God. So notice the Lord is into building, but He works with the builders. So the point is, and what the Bible says here, is that for all the building projects in our lives, you need builders and workers who are focused, who are ready to spend energy and time. And yes, they have a plan and they have a strategy. I mean, they're going for it. And guess what? You can't sit on the couch all day with a remote in your hand and build anything. It's not going to work. All that's going to happen, you're going to probably build health problems. So builders labor and laborers build, and you have to be focused and you have to give yourself to it to grow, to build a family. You have to know what you're doing. Can you say amen? Amen. Because the preoccupation now at work in our society is called this. It's called hanging out. And guess what? By hanging out, you don't build anything. And no fruit to show down the road from your labor, because there was no labor. You were just hanging out. To build something, to have a career, to do anything, you have to labor and you have to work at it. But notice in telling us that the laborers have to build, what God is also saying is nothing will be built if one is lazy, if they procrastinate, or if one is constantly postponing, or you just don't move, you don't do anything, you don't exert time and energy, which by definition is work itself. We see then you can't do that, or everything will be ruined. You have to give yourself to it, but yet unless the Lord builds the house, they that labor in vain. And so the lesson here, as you give yourself to build, as you labor, as you pay attention, as you exert energy, at the same time you're doing it, you have to have a dependence upon God. That unless He blesses it and builds it with you, it's going to be in vain. Unless the Lord builds the house, they that labor in vain. So you can build and worry and fret because you're not trusting God. You'll be anxious and all kinds of problems will arise because of that. And the thing is in vain that you're working on because you're not trusting God to build it. In other words, He has to work with us. He has to put His blessings on it, or it's vain, it's useless. and the example that we have in this is how about with our marriage? You can't work at quality. You can work at quality time. You can know each other's personality. You can know each other's quirks, so to speak. You can follow all the steps given in premarital counseling. But unless you determine going into that marriage that the Lord will be the center point and that He's allowed to build a marriage as a threefold cord, which the Bible says cannot be easily broken, that He is allowed to bring blessings of grace and peace, you're going to find then that unity and success will be hard to come by. Some will say, well, she has to do her part, or he has to do his part. And others will say, well, you can't do 50-50. You got to do 100%. Because some days the wife isn't able to be what she should be, or sometimes the husband isn't all there 100%. So unless the Lord builds the marriage, they that labor, labor in vain. God has to do it. God has to do it. Or there will always be trouble. So as children who belong to the family of God, and understand we have a God who's watching what we're building. And He loves to help us. He desires to give us, Brother Tony, His blessings. He wants to build with us. And if we'll trust Him and ask Him to do it, but to be spiritually self-dependent, in other words, I got this on my own. I don't want any help. I don't need any help. Guess what? That's only going to lead to total and complete failure. They that labor, labor in vain. You can spend your life for decades building and working and struggling and find in the end it all comes to nothing. And yes, in the church, there can be two extremes. Where on one side we're busy, let's work, let's have our meetings, and then meetings about the meeting that we just had. We're going, we're actively doing, and yes, it's all good, and how many know that has its place? Or you have the other extreme, the other side. Well, it's God's on the throne. So what are you doing? What are you knocking yourself out for? Either God's going to do it or it ain't going to happen. So you can just sit back and study the mark of the beast in Revelations and then come to church on Sunday. Like whatever will be, will be. It'll work because God's on the throne. And these are the two extremes that have hurt the church and have hurt us individually as it applies to the things that we're building in our own life. It's either worry and fret, to be frantic and have no faith in God, no trusting Him. We got to do it and I'm going to do it. And it's this, that, and the other. And so here in these two verses of Scripture, God blends the two together. Unless the Lord builds a house, meaning He has to build it. They that labor, labor in vain. Here it is now. It does not mean to just sit down and don't labor. But it's while you're laboring, then by trusting God through the process. By trusting in God through the process. And it's like we find over in the Old Testament where they went out and fought battles. We find in various stories throughout the Bible, it says when the army of Israel went out and fought the enemy, it says, and God gave the victory. Well, we could question that and ask, well, did God give the victory or did they fight? How could Israel have the victory? Well, here's the answer. It was Israel fighting, but trusting God as they fought. It was God working through His people, but adding that blessing which gives the victory. So which side can we sometimes find ourselves? Unbalanced, where we are fretting and worrying frantically, like, what are we going to do? I mean, Pastor, they say for sure another flu pandemic is coming this time. And it might be through the cows or the chickens or the mosquitoes. And I read yesterday it's possibly coming through the rabbit fever. And here they're talking about shots and wearing masks again and distancing yourselves 6 foot apart. Wear your mask in the car all by yourself. Don't go to church, but you can go to Walmart or Costco's. You just go down one aisle and come down the other. Listen, stop it. Would you look at somebody and say, stop it? We won't be tricked again. Yes, there's a flu that comes. Don't fall for it again. Yes, there are those who want to hang on to power and they're going to try everything they can over and over. How about we just do what we're supposed to be doing as believers? And that's living our lives to please Almighty God. The word to us was do not fear. We are to live without any fear. Building our lives, fulfilling the purposes of God that He has for each of us. Can you say amen? How about doing and occupying till He comes? That's what the Scripture tells us to do. Keeping our eyes on the Lord as we go about our day. Saying, oh Lord, I confess that You're the master builder. You promise to keep us safe. And let's not be in the place of thinking that it's all over. Whatever happens will happen. No. Unless the Lord builds the house, they that labor in vain. So do you know what we need as we begin in 2025? That's for God to raise up churches here and around the world which resemble the New Testament churches in Acts. Where through persecution they still witnessed and they prayed and they studied and worshiped and were so active but totally depending on Almighty God. And we find that all through the book of Acts, the church multiplied in number. And sadly, in many churches today, here's the style that you have. Well, there's no waiting. There's no depending on God. It's do more. Got to be active and do and do and do. And on the other extreme again is this. Wait and wait and wait and wait. Well, Pastor, we got to wait on the Lord. All right, but didn't He tell us to go into all the world and preach the gospel? Well, no, I'm waiting. I can't go right now. I'm praying and I'm waiting. So what you're saying is that you cannot be active and enjoy God and all His promises at the same time. That's what you're saying. You can do both. You can enjoy God and do what He's called us to do. Can I tell you there is a right path to walk in? There can be a balance in our lives. And it's what we're doing right now. In the month of January, we are seeking God. We're saying, God, You see our hearts. There's a lot that we want to do, Brother North, this year. Yet we want to do what You have us to do. God, You know You're on the throne, and that gives us hope and peace in a world full of chaos, where now we are seeing cities are burning. You have to help us fulfill Your purpose in us individually and corporately as a body, or we labor in vain. You have to build this church. So show us what and how we are to do that. And when You say go forward, we go forward. When You say wait, we're going to wait. Our eyes are upon You. Amen. So Solomon wrote these words in 127 of Psalms. He was telling us in so many words that you can be the smartest, most educated, richest, strongest person out there, and you will ultimately fail without the Lord's power and His blessings. And that goes for our security too. unless the Lord watches over the house, unless the Lord watches over the city, as verse 2 says, we watch, or they watch, in vain. The watchmen watch for nothing, because the ultimate person, listen, the ultimate person who builds and the ultimate person who watches over our lives is the Almighty God. Unless the Lord watches and guards the city, the watchmen are watching in vain. And sadly, this is so hard for a lot of people. Why? Because we're people of extremes. We're either going to worry and fret and have multiple watchmen, or we're not even going to have one because we're saying God is on the throne. But notice that there are watchmen here. That means there's activity. That means there's a rotation. That means there has to be a schedule then made. But as they're doing it, they're saying, Lord, you watch and you guard over the city. And that's how it is with believers in terms of watching. God is watching over us and protecting us from the enemy. Our prayer is, Lord, lead us not in temptation, but deliver us from evil. I still have to be alert on my own. I still need to be steadfast. I still need to be watching. I still need to be resisting the devil and all of that. But at the same time we're doing all of those things, we have to remember the Lord is our protection today and will be tomorrow and will be next week. The Lord watches over me, and while He watches over us, guess what? The supernatural power of the Holy Spirit helps us then to do our part and is working through us and for us and in us at the same time. Praise God. I could shout. Woo! All right. Then when He shows us what we are to be doing and we're obedient to that word, then watch this. As we step out to do it, we're saying, God, I have to have your wisdom and your understanding and knowledge that I need to fulfill your purpose. And guess what? With Jesus living in the inside of us, we have those blessings and those gifts at our disposal. We can get up each and every day praising and thanking God for the wisdom and the knowledge and the understanding that we will need for that day. Just as we saw last week in our message in the Word, Jehoshaphat was saying, Lord, our eyes are upon you. We don't know what to do, but you know. So, Lord, you show us what we need to do. And that's what Israel would do. Lord, we're going to fight this battle, but our eyes are on you, and you're the one who will have to give the victory. We're going to fight, but even as we fight, you have got to give us the victory. And sometimes He will give us the strategy we need for the battle, or sometimes we know this, He will say, this battle is not yours. I'm going to fight it. You just go out there and you praise and thank me. Remember Moses in the Old Testament. They were fighting the Amalekites. The people of Moses, of Israel and Moses, they went up on a hill and they prayed, and Moses lifted up his hands. And whenever he lifted up his hands, you read the story, Joshua was in the valley leading the army of Israel in the battle. And the tide would be turned and victory would come. And as Moses lifts his hand, the battle turns and favors the Israelites. But guess what? Moses was up in age and he got tired. And so they set Moses on a stone and they got someone on either side to lift his hands up. As to say, let's keep looking to the Lord. Keep praying, Moses. Keep trusting God for the victory for us. What did they do while he was doing that? Did they stop fighting? Absolutely not. They kept fighting and they kept believing. Listen, in the same way today for every one of us, we're going to fight, but God's going to fight with us. He'll be with us through the flood and through the fire. That's His promise to us. We're going to build, but God's going to build for us. We're going to be watchful, but God is going to be watching over the city. I can't speak for you, but I thank God that He's a builder and that He's in the security business. Unless the Lord watches over the city, the guards stand watching in vain. Yes, we are to guard. Paul tells us, in fact, to watch and pray. Watch and pray. But only Jesus can ultimately protect us. And this is what He delights in. He delights in building with us and providing protection for us. As a dad or as a granddad who makes the time and loves to build things with that child, that son or that daughter that's building, and when they were small it was something with their blocks or whatever, we love to be there for that child. And how many know we take joy that the child might look up as if to say, well, that's my dad or that's my papa and he's going to take care of me. They may not say that verbally, but we know that's in their eyes and in their spirit. I love to tell this story, and Andrew's not here today, but he'd be embarrassed to hear it again. So I'm going to tell it. At an early age of 7 or 8, he and Michelle are working on a puzzle as Darlene and I are watching and assisting. And he's really focused at finding a certain puzzle piece. And all of a sudden, he's standing there, well, he's kneeling at the coffee table, and he goes, well, well, without looking up. And in a few minutes, I mimic him, and I go, well, well. And listen, without hesitation, that boy, he looks up at me and says, no, Papa, that's my well, well. Okay, okay then. Yes, that was your well, well. Can I tell you, in the same way, God loves us as His children and He wants to build with us today. Let me ask, what are you building? He desires to be a part. He desires to build with you. He desires to help you with the puzzle. He's waiting for you to invite Him into the building process. Can I help you? Can I come along beside you? Can I give you some advice? Listen, don't try to build alone. Because when you do, you're open up to every tactic of the enemy. Guess what? From one extreme to the other, from a nervous breakdown to sleepless nights, destined for failure. Nothing will come together, and you will never find the missing pieces of the puzzle without Him. The Bible indicates in one translation that when you're trusting God while you're sleeping at night, He's doing more for you than all your worry could have ever accomplished. Unless the Lord builds the house, they that labor, labor in vain. Unless the Lord guards the city, the watchmen watch in vain. So He delights, Gordon, in doing that for us. You don't have to go to Him today like you're unsure how He will react and say, oh God, I know you probably don't want to do this, but please come on. Can we talk? I need your help. No, our begging does not move God. Did you know that? Our faith is what moves God. You can say, Lord, my eyes are on you. And your promises to me are yea and amen. So, Lord, I thank you for your promise of protection over me and over my family. Guard my family. Guard my career. Guard my soul. Guard my growth. Guard against the enemy's encroachments. Watch over me because you are in charge of my life. You said that unless you're guarding the city or guarding my soul or my life, the watchmen watch in vain. understand with me this morning. We've got to keep our eyes on the Lord, because Satan's strategy is to pull our eyes off of the Lord and make it all about us. He loves it to be about self and flesh. And yes, at first, it's sincere. We do want to trust Him, and we want His grace and His power. And how many know that's a good thing to desire? But for whatever reason, that religious thing is still there in us that we feel we have to do more. Understand, if Solomon did write this 127th Psalm, it's a lesson to us, because it didn't do him much good in the end. The man who wrote that unless the Lord builds the house, they that labor, labor in vain. Unless the Lord guards the city, the watchmen watch in vain. Solomon ended up getting his eyes off of Almighty God. He started making treaties and alliances with the enemy that seemed, at face value, it seemed it was full of wisdom. And then he started marrying women because it would align other nations with them. He strayed from God's building of Israel. He strayed from God's plan. Let me ask us, are you in God's plan today? Because remember, if you're in God's plan, God will help you build. If you're living for Jesus, He's going to protect you. Yet, if you're out there doing things on your own and doing it your way, that's not good. How many know that only ends in trouble? So Solomon not only married all of these women, and I'm telling you, there was a bunch of them. The Bible says his heart clung to them in love. They were the most beautiful women in the world, and he didn't just have a few. Solomon, what are you thinking? You wrote, unless the Lord builds the house, unless the Lord guards the city. Solomon, who is guarding you? Your heart now is not only is with the women, but now these women, they want you, who come from these other nations, they convinced him then to build them temples for their idols. Hello, Solomon. You're supposed to be wise. Wake up. But no, he didn't ever wake up. He built them their temples, and at the end of his life, while he's dying, he's building temples for idols that God said are an abomination. So what does that teach all of us? Lord, help us on a daily basis to keep our eyes on you. You, O Lord, build the good things that you want for my life. You build them, Lord. You build them. Solomon went on building his projects, but he was building things for idols, and he never stopped building. How out of balance had Solomon come? And the man who wrote this didn't even adhere to it in his later years. What a tragedy to end one's life like that. So the essence of this message today is this. What are you building? Simply, what are you building? Was God in the inception of it? Did God give you the blueprint? Did He initiate it? Are you building something for the glory of God? Or are you doing something you think is important, or what today's culture says is important? Just know that if you go by what the world says is important or cool, you'll be led down who knows what kind of trail. So wouldn't it be much better for us and bring us an eternal reward to choose what God wants and desire that for our lives? Guess what? You won't go wrong doing that. As I close this morning, can we not say, Lord, if I'm building the wrong thing, please show me and help me. But Lord, as I build for you, for your glory and your honor, as I build my family, my life, and my walk with you, please, Lord, I'll do my part as you help me. But God, unless you build the house, it will come to nothing. Unless you guard me every day, I cannot be kept. Lord, we are building your church. We're building your body. Call the church. It's too big of a project for us on our own. Lord, we're asking that in this new year that you build us. That ought to be our prayer. Lord, you provide and you watch over us. And yes, we promise to do our part individually and corporately. There's a verse that I came across this week. It's found in Amos 9:11. Can you believe that? Amos 9:11. And it's speaking of God's people. In that day I will restore David's fallen shelter. I will repair its broken ruins, or its broken walls, and restore its ruin, and will rebuild it as it used to be. So here we have, in keeping with this, that God not only does construction, not only does he build, he does renovation. He doesn't just build. He rebuilds stuff that is a mess. Maybe this morning you're in a time and place right now where stuff has broken down in your life. Maybe in your children's lives. Where the enemy's made some inroads, and where he has come and now things are sideways in your life. And so it's not going very good for you or your family. Listen, now's the time to look to the one who says, I'll build the house with you. Come on, let's rebuild. I'll lead you in what you're to do. I'll be behind you, supporting you, helping you, and guess what? You will succeed. Why? Because he's helping us rebuild. He says, come on, rebuild. Don't give up. But Pastor, you just don't understand. I'm really in a bad way. My family is really in a bad way. Many are backslid. I'm not where I need to be at all with the Lord. Can I tell you something? Stop. Stop right now. Yes, it might be in a mess at this very moment. But if you will let him work, God will rebuild it. You'll never know there was a crack there. Because when he does it right. All that needs to be done, he can and will do in our lives. Listen, how are you going to do that on your own? You can't. You can't. But God says, I'll restore things that are ruined. I'll rebuild walls that are broken. And maybe there are some walls that are broken in your life. Maybe there's some walls broken that you know that is in your family. Here's the solution. Here is the fix. You go to God today and you say, God, enough is enough. Please rebuild me. Can you just say, God, enough is enough? Enough. Amen. Help me, because that's how this whole thing ends. It ends this way. How do you get God to build for you? How do you get God to protect? How do you get God to rebuild? It's very simple. First of all, you have to, Sister Judy, trust him. I asked her before church, I said, what's the word for today? Trust. Woo! I nearly come out of my socks. You have to trust him. You have to trust him with everything concerning your life. You give him your life. You give him your past. You give him your future. In fact, we have to give him today. Lord, I give this today to you right now. I give right now to you today, Lord. Can you just say, Lord Jesus, I give you my life. Whew, I trust you. Forgive me of my sins. Listen, wherever you are, whatever condition you're in right now, Lord, I trust you today. Here's number two. I'm asking now for your building skills. I'm asking for your power. I'm asking you for your grace. I'm asking you for your blessings. I'm tired of building on my own. I'm tired of fretting. I'm tired of fussing. I'm tired of arguing. I'm tired of worrying. And listen, when you trust God, guess what? Yes, labor is involved. And yes, there's activity. But guess what? At the same time, guess what? There's a rest and there's a peace. And there is a knowing that God is going to build. Woo. And God is going to rebuild, but you have to ask Him. The Bible says we have not because we what? Ask not. Well, Pastor, that seems so simplistic. Oh, that's just so childlike, Pastor. But guess what? That's part of the receiving. Not only do we have to trust and commit our ways, now you have to ask God. Yes, He already knows all about it. But it's that part of coming to Him and surrendering to Him. Oh, Lord. So again, what's the thing that you need today? The answer then is to go to the Lord. He loves you. He wants to guard you. And He wants to build with you. Are you hearing me today? Are you hearing me today? Ask Him, Lord, please build my marriage. Would you walk with me? Would you build with me? Close the door to the enemy. Don't let him have one inroad into your life. If you have to make changes, make the change. It's worth it for your family, for your children, for your marriage, for your own health. But unless you do, Lord, I'm going to labor in vain. Unless you guard me, I'm going to just be watching out and be nervous in vain. And then do what He tells you to do. Trust Him. Commit. Consecrate yourself to Him. And then ask then for that specific help that you need. Lord, what is it exactly that you need me to do? What's that next step? Then do it. Work at it as God directs you. Would you look at somebody and say, just do it? Lord, what steps do I take? I want to see my loved ones. I want to see my family. I want to see my soul protected. But as I'm doing what you tell me to do, just know my eyes are on you, Lord. Oh, Lord, you're the ultimate provider for my life. Again, what are you needing in your life today? Only you know. He will lift you up as He has for me so many times in my lifetime. He rebuilds. He picks up. He guards. He repairs broken walls. He takes stuff. He takes mess that's all moldy, and makes it beautiful. So, Lord, we thank you. Unless you build a house, it's not going to be built. It'll be all useless. It's in vain. Unless you, Lord, guard, we're guarding, we're watching in vain. Help us not to lay awake at night, fretting, anxiety-ridden, but help us to be full of faith, knowing that you're in control of our lives. And you're over the building process. And that you are my protection. Lord, guard us in a new way from all the subtle devices of the enemy. Listen, he knows our lives. The devil knows our past. He knows what button to push. Oh, he'll try. The minute you get outside this door, get in that car. Car don't start. He's pushing that button. Guard us in a new way from all the devices of the enemy. Help us to see the beautiful things that only you can build and rebuild in our lives. Did you know that God does everything right? The scripture says he's going to finish what he started in us. Let's all stand together. Understand something with me this morning. We don't really deserve anything from him. But we can rest in his love. We can rest in his mercies that are new every day. As we leave this place today, would you determine anew that you will allow him to build in your life and know that he watches over you and that he loves you? Would you just look at someone and say, God loves you. God loves you.